Dakota County Board Meetings, Monday, July 12, Board of Corrections, 4 p.m., Board of Commissioners, 4:10.
Please, John.
Call the meeting to order. Stand to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall near the entrance of this room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Would you call the roll, please?
Buskay?
Here.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Here.
McLarty?
Yes. Next is to approve the minutes of the previous board meeting, and they were made available to you. What is your pleasure?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the minutes of our previous meeting. Any corrections, additions, deletions? Call the roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Okay, next is the jail report. Ms. Kern? Okay, this is a jail report that covers the fiscal year that just ended June 30th. So we've completed one fiscal year. We're beginning another. We're beginning fiscal 2011. Fiscal 2010 is done, and we're halfway through calendar year 2010. So the report that you have in front of you reflects in the blue is the number of inmates that we have in June in the 2010 calendar and the fiscal year. The goal below that is a comparison to where we were this time a year ago. So in June of last year, we had 98 county inmates on an average daily population, and so June of this year, we're at 69. Federal inmates were 35 versus 34. For the calendar year, if we go back to where we were in June of 2010, we were running at, June of 2010, we were 91 county inmates and 42 federals as opposed to 76 and 30. So we had a fairly large in-house population at that time, 133, and we're down to 106. And last month we were at 103. So you get an idea of where we are number-wise as compared to where we have been. Federal income for June, the marshal was $64,590. For June ICE, it was $29,90. Our total federal income for that month of June was $67,580. The calendar year is, calendar 2010, we have a total of $362,925.50 for federal income. For the fiscal year just ended, the Marshal Service, we billed them $672,592.55. We billed immigration $23,673, so the total federal income for the fiscal year just closed was $696,265.55. The per diem inmate cost was $59.60. You can see based on fiscal year and calendar year figures what they were last year as opposed to where they are this year. The jail expended 87% of its authorized budget, and we finished fiscal 2010 13% under budget for $369,861, compared to 11% under budget or $307,000 last year. The jail spent $2,389,719 as compared to $239,077. So last year, we actually spent money dispersed. We actually dispersed $9,300 less than we did last year. Now, there's several reasons for our decreased expenditures. We had several inmates not charged with serious offenses who developed serious medical conditions and complications that required hospitalizations. The county attorney's office approached Judge Rager in those cases and secured a personal recognizance bond, which then freed the inmate from our custody as well as the expenses. And this cooperation saved us thousands of dollars in medical expenses and is very much appreciated. Secondly, we experienced a 22% drop in the average daily population in the second half of the period, and this reduced the overall inmate cost. You can see the income for last year, broken down as to the sources from which it was derived. You can see the previous year's income and the year before that. So that's the money that the jail has generated over the previous 3 years. We had generated some $956,000 in revenue from all sources last year, which served to cover 40% of our expenditures with funds that came from something other than property taxes. On July 13th of last year, I reported to the commission that the jail would finish the fiscal year just completed with the lowest revenue in 3 years, and that is what happened. I did project a total revenue of about $1 million, but we didn't receive that. We were $44,000 under that. A comparison of the number of federal inmates explains a shortfall. We had an average daily population of federal inmates, including ICE, of 29 compared to 45 Marshals inmates last year and 33 Marshals inmates the year prior to that. If the upturn that we have experienced recently in federal numbers had come just 2 months earlier, we'd have made our $1 million. We were 2 months short of pickup and making that. In the last 3 years, the jail has spent $6.9 million. We've generated about $3.1 million, which subsidizes 40% of our expenditures with non-property tax funds. Revenue for this coming fiscal year, the one we just began July 1st, is estimated, and I give you the estimates of where the money should come from, and what we anticipate it will come to about $943,000. Now, it's possible that three of our revenue sources would permit us to exceed that projection. We received in this fiscal year $25,000 already in the kitty from a telephone reimbursement for signing up again, re-signing bonus with our provider. In addition to that, we received 22% increase in our share of the fees that we received from them, and that's effective October 1st. So we have an increased revenue source from that point. The final jail reimbursement check, which I projected to be about $101,000, and that's nothing more than the average of our previous 3 years, could match either 2008 or 2010. So it could be in the $120,000 range with that money. And the upturn in federal numbers could continue and bring us about $800,000, in which case we would be over the $1 million mark again, and we'd fall somewhere between 2008 and 2009 in what our revenues would be. If we do see the $1 million revenue in this fiscal year, it will probably be the last time. It will require an increase of slightly more than four federal inmates in our average daily population just to equal the average of the lost Nebraska jail reimbursement revenue. That revenue represents 10% of the last 3 years of our revenues and 13% of last year's income. And such an increase over and above that current level is unlikely. Our likely best case scenario would put the jail sufficient to subsidize 40 to 42% of its operational costs in this fiscal year. During the last year, several options were explored by members of the board, Citizens Advisory Committee, and myself to finance the completion of phase two of the jail. Public opposition to the use of general obligation property tax bonds was such that it was not an option, so it was not considered. Two promising options were fully explored, but conditions do not exist to adopt either of those options, either now or in the immediate future. The construction of phase two cannot be undertaken. This leaves us with the current use of both the old and the new jail. To help relieve overcrowding and make this situation workable, Nebraska jail standards approved 5 additional beds in the new jail, and those beds are now available. This brings our authorized occupancy to 105 in the new facility and 146 overall. There is still the possibility that a particular circumstance could force closing the old jail. We are left with no alternative but to take every precaution possible to make whatever repairs are necessary to forestall that day and deal with it however we can when it arrives. The occupancy levels coupled with the loss of state prison reimbursements will leave future revenues flat against inflationary increases in expenditures. The effects of this will not be clearly seen for several years, but the fiscal 2015 report will probably show that revenues will adopt about 33% of expenditures. And the county courthouse now has a tight parking situation, and the area west of the new jail intended for phase two is open, and this could be graveled and made all weather for use as a parking area. So that's our jail report for where we were this fiscal year. In addition to that, in your baggage there is a ICBM has sent us the contract for next year, calendar year contract that will run from January 1st, 2011 to December 31st. It represents a 2% increase in the cost. So I'd recommend that we accept that and and sign off, and so we can enter into an agreement with CBM Foods and continue our kitchen contract. Any questions for Terry?
When you talk about how many cars do you take up for your personnel? In the parking lot. 10 a day, roughly?
Maybe 3-4 for the people that park there and the two
how many
company vans.
You know, every time I drive in here and look for a parking spot, I think about that lot out there to the west. And I drive around here 2 or 3 times looking for a place to park. And, you know, if we grabbed that just for your personnel, you know, it would help some, I know.
Well, there's enough space there that it would... We would probably have no more than 5 or 6 cars parked there at any one time during the day.
I thought there'd be more than that.
Because, well, there's probably 6 people on duty, and then we have our office staff. So a day shift would be larger than you might have as many as 10 cars on days and less on afternoons and then 2 vehicles. But the lot is large enough to accommodate that many and more, so additional employees can park there other than just ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think it'd hold 25 to 30 cars if you rocked it all.
It would. It's pretty good size. What do you contribute to the number of county inmates? I know we always have an increase about this time of year, and we're actually going down.
Well, we're not having as much crime, or where we are, I don't know, but we're just not getting that many inmates. And we're down relatively low. We've been down all month.
Are you doing more work release house arrests?
Our number of work release individuals as a number, as a raw number, is down from where it was last year, but as a percentage of the overall jail population, it stays about the same. So we stay in that same ballpark. So we just seem to have fewer county inmates this time around, and we're still in the low numbers for the month of July. Our numbers for federal inmates have increased. We've had a couple days we've been back in the 40s for federal, so we're back into an average daily population of 36 for federal inmates. So we continue to have relatively low numbers of county and high numbers of federals. So we're off to a good start with where we should be for the situation we want to see continue.
Kim, I'd like to thank your office for helping the county, looking after the county's interest there, and that makes people out on bond.
Yep. Mainly due to the judge, but we try to help.
Well, good. We appreciate it.
Okay, other questions?
Have you met with CBM Foods and talked to them on the contract here?
They sent us what I thought was a fair contract. 2% for days for the rate of inflation is about right. And that's what we're basing on CPI.
Okay. Well, usually CBM Foods in the past has came and presented and give us a kind of a rundown of how they're doing things. And, you know.
Well, we meet with them to talk about issues of what do you want to do for menu. Can we do something different with menus? And we talk about operationally about something at least once a month.
Okay.
So we have a representative in my office at least once a month to talk about operational things. But as far as the contract goes or what have you, it's based on CPI, and this is a 2% contract, mm-hmm. which is about what CPI is.
How long is the contract with CBM Foods to pay for the equipment and all that before we can put it back out to bid? It's got to be getting close. When we originally built the jail,
was it 7?
I thought it was 10 or so.
Oh, I didn't think it was that long.
When we originally built the jail, they put the cooler and all the kitchen appliances in. And there was some built-in figures in the meals to take care of paying them back for their equipment. And I don't know if we're doing this right, because I would think if we're going to renew contracts, we need to put it out for bid. Am I wrong?
Well, until that equipment's paid for, we probably...
We had a contract. I just wanted to know if we're at the end of that contract.
I looked at the contract, you know, when it was first let, and there were 3 people that had competitive bids, and CBM said we need to have changes in the way the kitchen's set up, and if you put in this or this much, we'll put in for you the picture that you're talking about. But I think in exchange for that, they were given a 7-year deal.
And it was so many years, so 2014. So we had an 8-year, upon the full completion of the 8-year contract.
Okay.
So we're still in contract with them?
Right.
That's what I wanted to know. I didn't know if that was up or not. So it's 8 years. So it's 2014.
Okay. That's when the contract ended, 2014?
We're tied in with CBM Foods until 2014. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, their equipment will be paid for. And then we probably should be looking at maybe putting that out for bid and see how the competitive bids come in.
Good idea. So.
Well, I'll make a motion to sign the contract with CBM Foods with the 2% increase.
Did you approve the contract and have the
chair sign? Have the chair sign.
Motion made and seconded to approve the contract with CBM Foods and authorize the chair to sign the contract. Discussion? Hearing none, call roll please.
Did Tony second that?
I did.
Bill Roy.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Busquet?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Curtin. Next on the agenda is approve a contract, a 3-year contract with Mr. Curtin. I think everybody received a copy of it. Starting out with a salary of $50,000 and having a $1,000 increase for each anniversary date of the contract. That's his original appointment contract, not this one. Everything else is pretty standard to what the other county employees have as far as benefits are concerned.
You and Kim met with Terry and went over?
Yes. Kim and I met with Mr. Curtin, his attorney. Kim wrote the contract that you have before you.
I amended Jim Redmond's
original. Oh, I see. Okay.
But everything is okay, as far as you know?
Well, as I've said before, NIRMA, I talked to them, and they prefer at-will employees. So take that for what it's worth. I don't know.
This is a 3-year?
3-year.
I mean, as NIRMA told me, they would prefer that, you know, actually what they said to me was, well, you know, what's wrong with just being a county employee at will? And that's what they would prefer.
What do you guys think?
I think we've got a very good man here, and I don't want to see him go anywhere else. I would move to approve this. Your employment agreement with Terry Curtin.
I second it. Nice to get in here.
Sounds good.
Motion made and seconded to approve the contract between the county and Terry Curtin and authorize the chair to sign the contract on behalf of the board. Discussion? Any comments?
I feel the same way Bill does.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony, for the good job.
Any other comments? Call the roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Busquet?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Miscellaneous items? There are none. Board report, committee reports?
There won't be any PNC meeting this month?
No, this is just a jail.
Just a jail.
Public comment? Anyone in the audience wish to address the Board of Corrections on any issue not on the agenda? No emergency mail. Entertain a vote to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Need a second.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Motion made to second to adjourn. Call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Rhodey?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. It is now past 4:10, so I will call the meeting of the Board of Commissioners to order. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall near the entrance to the County Board of Commissioners room and available for review by all citizens in attendance. Call roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Rhodey?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Okay, you all received a copy of the minutes of our previous meeting.
I make a motion to approve.
Second it.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes as printed. Any corrections, additions, deletions? Call roll.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Rhodey?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Next item is approve the contract with the CBM Foods covering their contract.
We got that done.
No, you have to do it now as a commissioner.
Oh, as commissioner. Oh. So moved to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the contract with CBM.
The signing of the chair.
Yes, thank you. Approve the contract and the authorize the chair to sign. Motion is made and seconded. Call roll.
Rhodey?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Next is to approve the contract of employment agreement with Mr. Kern and the county.
So move and authorize the chairman to sign the contract.
Second.
Motion second made and seconded to approve the contract and authorize the chair to sign. Comments? Call roll.
Rhodey?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Finken?
Yes.
You're next.
All right. Unfortunately, I don't have enough for everybody's story, but I have some literature on this.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, no. Basically, the product that we offer is Network Fleet. This is what the product looks like. It's basically, there's a cell phone in here, and we can hide this unit in a vehicle. This is going to track where the vehicle's been, where it's going, how long it's been there. If somebody starts up the vehicle off hours, you'll get an email or a text message. So it's a theft recovery device. It's a speed monitoring device. And you can track the vehicle just like on Google Map. So basically, here's these dots represent my company vehicles. And I wish I had a projector to really show you. But basically, red means off, green means moving and running. If you throw the mouse over top of this dot, it will tell you who's driving the vehicle, the time, date, location, the speed. This has lowered our fuel cost by 30%, and it's raised our productivity by 10% as a company. For you guys, you want to monitor the guys out working. It will basically allow you to manage the vehicles on the road. If you have multiple vehicles on the road, it's kind of hard to keep track of where they're at. Things that it does, you can pull reports on when somebody starts the vehicle in the morning and when they turn it off to check payroll and things of that nature. It also does engine diagnostics, so if you have a mechanic that is constantly maintaining the vehicles, he can get an email alert if there's something going wrong with the vehicle. So where the vehicle's been, where it's going, how long it's been there. You can pull reports as far as how long they left the vehicle idling. We've had companies that were idling 40% of the time, where that means they basically start the vehicle and everything they do, they get out of the vehicle, leave it running. Fuel costs would skyrocket at that point. We went from 40% idle down to 10%. Now, there's going to be some idle, because if you're at a stop sign, a red light, that's idling and not moving. How you want to look at it is an hour of idle is a gallon of fuel. So times the number of vehicles, it's real easy to cut costs on fuel. For example, UPS, they eliminated left turns on their routes. It saved the company $2 million in 1 year just because the vehicle, the delivery vehicles would pull up to a red light and they would wait to turn, and they figured with all the vehicles on the road, if they just changed their routes so they, where they went around the block instead of waiting to turn left, it's little things like that that really add things up. We can put a landmark on the map itself, so when a vehicle crosses that landmark or gets near it, it will actually trigger you to let you know. I know, for example, a road grader, if you want to see when they went on that road last, it will trigger a sensor to let you know through email or text message, whatever you prefer. So we can set up alerts, so if somebody starts the vehicle up past hours that you decide, you can get an alert. If somebody goes over a certain speed, you can get an alert. There's a tool on here where you can actually type in an address and it will tell you who's closest. So when the guys are out on the road and let's say there's a road that needs graded, instead of calling a guy that's 40 miles away, maybe call a guy that's 2 miles away. So there's a long list of ways it pays for itself and actually saves you money. What I would ask is what are some things that you guys would like to see as far as a management standpoint?
One question I have, if we set up, for instance, the road graders, can we have more than one database that one, more than one person can monitor?
You can have unlimited people logged on and looking at the vehicles at one time.
Okay.
You can actually set who sees what. So some person, one person might be able to pull reports on idling, speeding, the hours that the vehicle ran, the engine diagnostics, and one person might be able to just view where the vehicles are at, more of like a dispatch sort of deal.
Right. Can that be done on anybody's computer, my home computer?
Yep. All you do is get on the internet, you type in your username and password, and each individual user can have their own username and password, or you guys can all have the same, whichever you guys decide for the admin rights to view the certain data. So I can't think of what this won't tell you.
Would it tell me, like, could I backtrack for the whole week and tell where a maintainer had been during the whole week?
Definitely.
90 days. I think it's 90 days.
It's a 90-day window. Something I want to really show you, and it's really hard being I have such a little laptop and such a nice group. But
the reason I ask that, I get a lot of calls at home, and somebody says, well, they have seen a maintainer for a month.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, then I've got that access to give an answer real quick.
You could pull up time and date and exact time.
Okay, great.
And, you know, we found that a lot of people will pull up the same reports weekly. Well, instead of you going in there and pulling up all those reports, you can actually just have them emailed to you. So at the end of the week or the month, mm-hmm. if you want to check or somebody calls, you can pull it up. And I think it's in my company vehicle, too, because I have sales routes, territories. It motivates me because I know that any minute my boss can look and see where I'm at, so I'm not at the golf course like I want to be. I'm out working.
Along with that,
go ahead. I talked to Rod Heron of the Sheriff's Department. He thought this would be a good idea for the deputies also. Kind of know where they're at because they're, you know, the idle time. You know,
that's
they might go in, grab a cup of coffee, I don't know, they might be visiting or whatever, but that would definitely work with some things there.
A prime example, one of our employees lives in Correctionville, Iowa. Every day he drives to and from work in a company vehicle, and we pay for the gas. Well, every Sunday he was loading up the family and driving to Sioux City to go to church. Well, you can see the cost of that. It's humble he's going to church, that's great, but we don't want to pay for it every Sunday. And my boss figured out it was probably, you know, quite a chunk of change every year. Now, times behavior, we call it behavior and bad habits, because we all like to look at our employees like our kids. They never do anything wrong, but once in a while we have bad habits. If somebody's never sat me down and said, we don't expect you to do this, we expect you to do this, it's kind of in the air, there's a gray area, but that has cut down major costs because we have 24 vehicles on the road, and These are big trucks loaded up. I would imagine a pretty much like the city or the state would have as well, and it really, really adds up fast. So if we can raise productivity on your employees, make sure that the vehicles are running well as far as engine diagnostics, because if a guy breaks down on the side of the road, then he's not getting any productivity out of it. This also comes with features like roadside assistance. You get lockout of vehicles, they'll bring you gas, flat tires, they'll tow you up to 25 miles. We give 4 incidences on the roadside assistance per year. Hopefully your guys' vehicles are pretty new and won't have that many issues, but it's just more added features.
Is that in a package? Is some of those things you wouldn't necessarily have to have to reduce cost?
How this package comes is you get everything fully loaded. Now, a fuel truck, it will track the fuel, like the miles per gallon, for example. A diesel, like a road grader, it probably won't give you the engine diagnostics because it doesn't have an OBD plug like your newer vehicles would. For example, I mean, we can pull up an engine diagnostics report. So when you drop your vehicle, a maintenance truck, for example, off to the mechanic, and you're like, I don't know, it's running rough, the same tool that he spent a lot of money to plug in and tell what's wrong with the vehicle, this has it built in that little box, and it's all via web, so you can access it anywhere, anytime. If you're on vacation, want to check on the guys, you name it.
So the sheriff's department, if they were on all the cars and pickups, let's say we had our own maintenance shop, how does the mechanic load in there that he's changed the oil in, let's say, vehicle 20?
There's actually a section on this site where you can keep all the maintenance records. So if you change a water pump at so many thousand miles, you can put it in there. So also it's going to store all the data of all the maintenance. It's great for warranty. My boss has a factory recall on his vehicle. This tells him that. I can't think of anything that it won't tell you as far as, and I'm going to have to steal it real quick. This is a theft recovery device too, so it will also lower your insurance, because if somebody steals the vehicle, we can track it and we can also get you an alert. So most of my guys work from probably 5 in the morning till maybe 7 at night. So we have parameters set that if the vehicle starts before that time or after that time, then the boss gets either an email or a text message. You can put up to like 20 phone numbers in there, 20 email addresses, so whoever needs
to
know.
So if that vehicle goes out of an area too, we could have a parameter to say our grading area. If it would go beyond that area,
you can get an alert.
Get an alert?
Yeah.
That'd be pickups, car, anything.
You name it. And let's see, built-in miles per gallon tracking. Miles per gallon tracking is great because some companies, what they'll do is if one vehicle's getting really, really good gas mileage, then they'll probably keep that and usually filter out your older vehicles. Well, if one vehicle's getting 25 miles a gallon, one's getting 15 miles a gallon, it either has a maintenance issue or it needs to be filtered out when the new set of vehicles comes in. Tracks all the miles for you, so I don't know how some of the vehicles, if somebody has to give you a piece of paper every month how many miles they did, it's all there automated for you. DOT tickets, I'm not sure if you guys deal with that, but there's never any argument with the DOT as far as the vehicle, where it's been, where it's going. It's helped in lawsuits. If there is two vehicles that pull up to an intersection, there's an accident that happens, there's no witnesses, they know somebody was speeding because one vehicle flew really far and the other didn't. Well, it's hard to tell who's speeding. You can actually pull up the time, date, location, and see how fast that vehicle was going. And it's really great because we deal a lot with utility companies, companies, state, city, agencies, and usually people want to sue who's ever on the side of the vehicle, not necessarily the driver.
Could they share information, for instance, the road grader's out, he's 3 miles east of Homer. Right now we put a red flag in where we need gravel. The operator gets out, puts a red flag in,
right,
goes down the road, puts another red flag in where he wants him to start and stop. Could they share information with this GPS
Definitely.
Get it to the truck operator and say, you know, somehow exchange that information.
Yeah, you definitely could do that. With the landmarks, see, we have what's called a landmark where I put a symbol on a road or a location,
right,
and you pull reports how often you've been to that landmark. And then we have what's called a geofence where we can put a circle around, like a building, for example. I have some companies that will put a circle around their employees' home so that they can be notified every time that they go to their house. You know, lunchtime's not a big deal, but if they're stopping by there 5-10 times a day, it can kind of lower productivity, so to speak. But the beauty about this, you manage it however you want. So you guys set the guidelines. If you don't want somebody going over 55, then we can set it at 55. If it's 75, we can do 75. The beauty is you're going to set one guideline for everybody. That way one person doesn't feel like they're being picked on versus another guy, which is nice.
Sure.
Yeah, but now on a sheriff's car, though, if they're called out, he's going to be going pretty high speed to get there.
Definitely.
So that overlooks that then.
Well, we can group the vehicles, though. We can put the road graders in one group. So there's guidelines for that group with the alerts and the geofences and the
okay.
speeding and the off-hours, using of off-hours, versus there might be a police officer category where they're not in the same as the road graders or the city okay. trucks. So you can set the groups.
That's
and
right.
we have groups because we have salesmen, we have maintenance guys that go out that are on call. So there's a lot of companies with those same scenarios.
Okay. That's what I want to do. So
in. When you say get all this $2 a day, is that a unit or the whole thing?
It's per unit, so it comes to $60 a month. And there's another feature that they just added where we can see every time the blade goes down on the grader. For example, every time the bus opens the door, it can send a signal. Every time the road grader drops its blade, it can send a signal. So not only can you see where it's been, where it's going, but you can see if the blade's actually been dropped, because guys might, okay, they just want to see me driving around, so I'm going to drive around. But if the blade never drops, then, you know, there's something going on.
So you could program that to, like, our dump truck to tell
right.
them to gravel.
Exactly.
So that would map out a road that was gravel.
It would.
That's what I'm getting.
But every 90 days, you're going to have to download this on
yeah.
your disk.
Or we'll just send it to your email. The alerts, probably, if you know
well,
you want something.
We want a record for the year.
Okay.
So we want something stored on a disk.
And you can do that. What I would probably do is set up an email account just for this, and all your data is dumped into it. That way, for the whole year, instead of having
okay.
a filing cabinet, you can just pull up this email address that's designated for that type of information. We actually went to a job, did some work, and they didn't think that we were there, so they didn't want to pay their bill. And we actually pulled up the data months back, and it was pretty expensive. So that's why I always recommend to email it, because it's always there in your database, basically.
Okay.
And we like to say it makes good employees great employees, because like I said, it motivates me, and everybody has great employees, probably. They could just be a little bit better sometimes.
Other questions? Okay.
We're going to let you guys
know. Have you got like A and B trucking?
We have Gill Hauling. We have a lot of the major heating and cooling companies like CW Suter. Our company uses it. And, you know, I can't think of them all offhand, but we have at least 100 vehicles that are on this right now, just probably in the tri-state area.
Well, I did call K&B, and they've got it on every truck that they're hauling. So.
See, they have a little bit a different deal. They have probably a lot higher end when it kind of first came out, a lot more expensive. This is more, the technology's got a lot more advanced and a lot better price, so to speak. So it's kind of a different deal. That's more for semis
okay.
going all over the country versus this might be in a tri-state area. I mean, this can go all over the country, but
okay.
the cost of theirs versus the cost of ours, there's going to be a major difference in technology and cost.
Okay.
Other questions?
What if there's no cell phone service, no
email service in parts of the county?
Great question.
Does it still pick up?
It stores that data so you never lose it, and then right when you get in a cell area, it just uploads it. So it actually hits a satellite, and this is all web-based, so everything's on the website. The website's updating and not anything on your computer itself. So
at the end of the day, if they go back to the shop, cell service there, boom, it loads it.
And what's really nice, in the past, they used to have devices that you put on a vehicle, and at the end of the day, the vehicle would pull up and upload all the information. Well, if a guy didn't do anything all day, it kind of eliminates the purpose, because it's like, okay, yesterday you didn't do anything, today we're going to talk to you, but you already lost 8 hours of work. So that's why we found this the best, because our company has personally tried a bunch. We tried this, it worked out, and then the company approached us and said, hey, you want to have this as one of your products, and we've had phenomenal success with it. So there's no investment. You guys can actually buy the units for $500. We can install them for $100, and you can pay $35 a month, and that pays for the cellular service. Or you can just pay $60 a month, and you don't have to purchase anything. From what I've found is most people like to rent them because they're not coming out with a big investment. And our motto is, you give us $2 a day, we'll give you 10 or more in fuel or payroll or engine diagnostics or tows on the side of the road. Or just, a lot of it is accountability, because you know what's going on, your guys know what's going on, and it just makes everybody behave a little bit better.
Once this goes in, when you turn the key on, that's running.
It's ready to rock and roll. I mean,
and there's no way to unhook this.
Not at all. You see on this zip tie, there is writing on it, and it's fluorescent. It says, do not remove, network fleet. So you see, here's a zip tie, how we plug it. I can't remove this. If I wanted to, I'd have to cut this, and
yeah,
you know it's been tampered with. And the vehicle will actually, we'll lose it on the map. So it'll be driving, and then all of a sudden, we'll just lose. The dot is either red or green.
Okay.
But then we lost the data, and then it shows up in another location all of a sudden. Then we know it's been unplugged and plugged back in, if somebody really did cut this.
That's good. But if there was a way around it, I just wanted to know.
No, we got guys. I mean, these guys install them, so they know how to mess with them. Let's put it that way. And we haven't had any problems with that at all.
Okay.
So.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr.
Yeah.
Denton?
Bill, is this something we can take action on now?
No, I didn't know here for action.
Okay.
At this time.
Okay. We'll let it go. Let it.
Take one.
Oh, okay.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Bob Denton, and I am with the probation office, but I'm not here today as a representative of the probation office. I'm actually here as a representative for the Dakota County Juvenile Services team. And I think the board is aware of the Juvenile Services 3-year plan that we had to submit at the end of 2008, and that was required in order for us to be eligible to get grant money that pays for the diversion program and for the pretrial services that Carrie oversees with Katarina Chapman. And so I headed that team starting in 2008, and we met several times, and the team members reviewed the old plan, and we came up with ideas for the new plan. And we, as a team, put together the plan, and we submitted that to the Nebraska Crime Commission. And so the handout that you have today has a list of the juvenile services team members, and that's what that list of names is in front of you. And so as our team met and we reviewed the previous plan and we came up with ideas for the next 3 years, we pooled all of the ideas that we had together, all of the resources that we have, all of the problems that we've seen in our community, and we formulated that plan, and we submitted it in December of 2008. That's on the bottom of the first page. The Crime Commission approved that plan January 16, 2009, so it's good for the next 3 years until December of 2011. And again, that plan allows Dakota County to be eligible for grant money from the Nebraska Crime Commission, which currently funds Katerina's position. The second page, I listed the actual priorities and strategies that we developed from that plan, and I'm not going to go through the whole page because there's quite a few of them, but I'm just going to hit on the priorities. The first priority is to reduce the availability and demand for alcohol, tobacco, and illicit drugs for youth. And then we have four targets for strategies for that priority. The next priority is to reduce prevalence of gang culture among the youth and community. And the third priority is to promote positive youth development by reducing problem behaviors among youth. So those are the three priorities that our team came up with, and then the corresponding strategies. So the Dakota County Juvenile Services team, after we developed the plan, now we're responsible for monitoring it, making sure that we're keeping up on those strategies, and to identify any needs that our juveniles have in our communities for the next 3 years, and also to apply for grants to help fulfill those strategies. And so the reason I'm here today is that we applied for two grants through the Nebraska Crime Commission, and those are listed on the last page. The first one is the gang prevention curriculum, and the team completed that and submitted it February 2010. The Nebraska Crime Commission approved the grant in the amount of $5,057. There are no contributing funds required from the county, so there's no money that the county has to give to that grant. And the only thing that is required is that the county board chair sign that for approval, and then the Crime Commission will send that $5,057 to our county, and then we can purchase that gang curriculum, and we're going to give it to the schools, and then the schools are going to actually facilitate it with their students and through a after-school program that they're currently administering. The second grant is for graffiti removal, and the team completed the application. We submitted that February 2010. The Nebraska Crime Commission approved of the grant in the amount of $3,541. Again, there's no contribution from the county. Only thing that's required is that the county board chair sign the grant award. Again, the funds will be dispersed to the county. We'll give the money to the Watchful Eye. They'll purchase that equipment, and then they'll use their youth to help remove the graffiti from around the community. So that's why I'm here today. I have the grant award that I need the chair to sign, and then there's also sub-grant special conditions packet. Requires your signature, and that's all I needed.
Okay. It's your pleasure.
I move to authorize the chairman to sign the grant award.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the chair to sign the grant award Mr. Denton. Questions? Call the roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buscay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Thanks, and Bob. If it's okay, I'll leave it with Joan, and she can have you guys sign
it. Pick it up tomorrow.
Okay.
Next is to approve the payroll claims. Been reviewed. No problem.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to approve the payroll claims. Call the roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buscay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Okay, because of the time of the month, it was necessary to have some account claims sent in. Part of it is the clearing up of the trial we had. We had some accounts there, so we do have some accounts to pay. So I need approval for the accounts payable.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to approve the accounts claim. Call roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buscay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Time clock?
I still haven't had a chance to... I wanted to visit with Joan a little bit more and see if there was room to work it into the budget, and then I still haven't had time to sit down with each of the...
Do you want to leave it on the agenda and continue forward? Or?
You know, we're looking at $9,500. way it looks to get it put in. I don't know. I know the budget's stretched. I think it would be a good thing for to have. It's just finding a different avenue to get it in.
You want to drop it from the agenda?
I'd still like to talk with each of the elected officials and see what they think. And
you want
to
lift on the agenda then?
Let's leave it on there, and I'll see if I can get that done this before the next meeting.
The date for members to meet with as a Board of Equalization, the clerk recommends Friday, July the 23rd.
When? What?
Right here. The reason I'm recommending the 23rd, it gives the assessor's office and myself time to get everything in order for me to send out my reports within 7 days of the board taking action. If Friday doesn't work for you and you want to do it on Thursday, that would be
Is Vic on Friday?
23rd is on Friday.
Yeah. What time?
Yeah, your time. Whatever time you prefer.
How long is it going to take us to meet again?
Depends upon how thorough you are with the recommendations.
Is it for the full board?
Board. Or at least three need a quorum.
~9 in the morning? Work for some evening? Or is this too early?
Need it later. I couldn't. We got to our parade night.
You name the time.
That's Thursday, you said, right?
Friday.
Oh, Friday. Okay.
Friday the 23rd.
What's that?
Well, we can do it at 8 o'clock, can't we? Yeah, couldn't we meet down here at 8 o'clock on the 23rd and then it wouldn't bother anybody the rest of the day for anybody?
That's a good idea.
Sounds good to me.
Does that not work for you, Bill?
The earlier the better.
Whatever works.
Earlier the better?
Yeah,
how
about
6?
Yeah, I'm up.
So, I don't think that'll work. Nice try.
Oh. Yeah.
Then 8 o'clock, you say?
8 o'clock on
8
the
8
o'clock. Yeah.
8 o'clock when?
23rd.
The 23rd?
Friday, sir. Late 23rd.
That's 8 a.m., right?
Mm. Yeah, also.
Okay.
Okay. Do you need a motion on that?
No, but I do have to publish the paper.
No, but you don't need a motion here.
No. Okay. Not if you agree to it.
Moving down the next, there are no tabled items. Committee reports.
Can I ask Jesse another question about this GPS at this time, or do you want it later?
I want you to do it later. Does it affect us or just between two of you?
Well, I think it affects us as a board.
I guess so.
If we enter into it, we're going to get this on our next agenda and possibly take some action. If we enter a contract with you, is there a minimum? Do we have to go like a year? Or?
We just ask a year because that covers a cellular service.
Okay. Along with that, can we do a trial with one maintainer, or is that possible?
Definitely.
Between now, we're going to meet 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, we are already in the process of having that set up for you. So, yeah.
Okay.
That'd be a no-cost trial. We just test drive it.
Great.
Good question. While you're in that, Billy, wouldn't it be nice to put, like, one in a squad car, too? Then we could check the fuel on that.
Can we do a couple of them?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting.
I'd like to see them in the sheriff's cars as well as the county vehicles, trucks, pickups, everything.
I'm sure we could give you 3 to 5 pretty easily to demo, no problem.
Great.
Good deal.
Okay.
Anything else?
Our budget committee met today, Bill and I and Joan, and we're having to get the old axe out. But we'll get through it every year.
Any other committee reports? Okay, member reports?
There won't be a planning and zoning meeting this month. Got LAC board meeting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Things are going well with construction on the LAC.
Okay, Rick is going to cover the Goodwill Camp groundbreaking on Thursday. I'll be out of town. I handed out to each of you the final budget report for the 09-10 year. You'll note on there that everybody was in the black. Nobody went over their budget. I would point out that the county general budget was only 87% spent, which means the department heads did a good job in running their departments on what they had. Actually, all of them turned back money. Some a lot, some not so much. But I think it should be noted that the commissioner, or not the commissioners, but the department heads in Dakota County are doing a good job in watching the money. Public comment. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board on any issue that was not on the agenda? Seeing none, mail or emergency business? None? Okay, now we need to conduct a jail tour in accordance with Nebraska statute. So we will be moving from here to the jail. There'll be no official business taken from that point, and the meeting will adjourn over there. Thank you very much for coming.